Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So why?
No, not why didn't I get a deer yesterday.
But why do the people who choose our lectionary readings decide on this day, the last Sunday of the church year, to once again pick the story of Jesus' death on the cross? Well, if you think about the story, it is about an end. This is the last Sunday of the church, the end of the church year. And yes, Good Friday was an end. But no, I'm not referring to the end of Jesus' life. Rather, it's the end of something that started from the very beginning. Something that God promised way, way back in Genesis, when he said that he will send someone to fix what sin had brought into the world. And how fitting then those words of Jesus, as he was nailed on the cross, suffering for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world, when he cried out in three words, "It is finished." So that's what we're going to do today. We too are going to consider the end through the lens of the cross. And yes, our life leading up to the end through that same lens. For in Jesus' death, we also will hear about our life and our death. And so today, to do that, I wanted to focus our attention on just one little sentence from the gospel. One little sentence that Jesus spoke in our reading for today. You've heard it numerous times. As a matter of fact, if you're 50 years old, you probably heard it 50 times. If you're 60, 60, 70, 70, I can go on and on and on. But it's just this one sentence. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them. The love that Jesus had and has when he can pray such words. "Father, forgive the people who turned their backs on me. Father, forgive those who ran away when the pressure got too much. Father, forgive them, those who cried out, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Father, forgive the people who drove the nails through my hands and my feet. Father, forgive the people who still mock me. Father, make this forgiveness that I am earning on the cross for them available to them. Father, forgive them." That's no small thing, is it? That's no small thing to forgive someone, is it? We know how hard it is. We know about those grudges we've held since childhood. The things that we couldn't forgive other people for, much less things than the people did to Jesus back then. It's So how great and wondrous those words are. And how precious they are for us sinners still today. But it's the second part of that sentence that I want to focus the rest of my sermon on this day. For they know not what they do. In the eyes of the church leaders, this man from Nazareth, well, he was a problem. A problem they couldn't wait to get rid of. So what a surprise when one of Jesus' own disciples is willing to betray him too. Hand them over on a silver platter. And what a relief it must have been for Pontius Pilate. You see, Pilate didn't want to execute Jesus. He found no guilt in this man. Oh, so what a relief it must have been. When the people said, no, release Barabbas. We want Jesus dead. But only. If only they knew and believed who this man truly was. The hands through which the nails had been driven were the same hands that created all things and even knit them together in their mother's womb. The feet which were fastened to the cross were the same feet that walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. The head into which that crown of thorns was pressed on. Oh, if only they knew. If only they knew that head belonged to the one who knows all things. But they didn't. They didn't know, and more importantly, they didn't believe that in this man's death, that they too could have life. They didn't know. But thankfully, we're not like them. Again, those who put Jesus on the cross thought that they knew what they were doing. Getting rid of that troublemaker, that blasphemer, and someone who was going to bring the wrath of Rome down on their nations. And so if Jesus was who he claimed to be, none other than God, then come down, Jesus, from the cross, and then we will believe. But again, thankfully, we're not like them, are we? For we believe and we know that man in that middle cross was indeed and is indeed the Son of God. So then answer me this, brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do we still have our doubts? There were others who believed in Jesus, who stood around the cross that day. But they too were probably running, wondering, what in the world is going on? Does God really know what he's doing? And yet, how many times does that same thought cross our minds? In our Old Testament reading for this day, the people in the days of Prophet Malachi were asking the same thing. God, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're doing what you asked us to do. We are mourning our sins. We are repenting and we are sacrificing. But God, look around. What's it getting us? The arrogant are the ones who are blessed. The evildoers are the ones who are prospering. God, they're putting you to the test with their sins and their perversions, and they're getting away with it. God, nothing happens to them. God, do you really know what you're doing? Because you and I, we know what God should be doing, right? God should be prospering us. God should be blessing us. God should be helping us. God should be making our lives easier. But yet evil seems to be gaining the upper hand, doesn't it? Christians and churches today are the ones on the defense. God, do you really know what you're doing? Because things sure don't seem to be getting any better. Yet God knows exactly what he's doing. You see, our problem is the same problem that mankind has had since the first sin. We become impatient. We want to see results, and we wanted to see them yesterday. And so when things don't go our way, what do? We play God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was praying for you and I, too. The truth is, there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. God tells his people through the prophet Malachi, the day is coming. Then you will see what you do not see now. What body of the church are we members of? Can anyone tell me off the top of your head? Who do we belong to? Say it louder. We are proud members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You know what that means? We're the show me people. Show me God. Show me, God, you know what you're doing. Punish all those people who disobey your word. Punish all those who aren't as faithful. Now imagine if God did what you asked him to do. You who hurt, you who lie, you who lust, you who doubt and disbelieve, you who covet and take, you who rebel, you who do not love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind all of the time. That's why today and every day we thank Jesus when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord declared, My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. The hardest thing I ever had to learn in life was the following sentence. God is God, and I am not. What God chooses to reveal is up to Him alone. As one pastor so, I think, perfectly put it, and I think it's something we should keep in our head, this image is this. He said, I think to think of God like an iceberg. The part of the iceberg that you see floating on the water is only a small percentage, maybe just 10%. The 90%, what we don't see, well, that stays hidden beneath the surface. God works the same way. God is working. He's working in the world. He's working in your neighborhood. And yes, He is working in you. And if you have any doubts at all about the love that God has for you, just remember Good Friday. For the man nailed to the cross is the very Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And though it doesn't look like it, God did, and God does know what He's doing. And we'll see it. We'll see it on the last day when Jesus comes in His fullness once again. But in the meantime, well, we have God's Word, we have God's promises, and we have God's faith. The faith that He gave us in our baptism. Faith that allows us to believe the promises. Speaking about the promises our Lord makes, there's one part of the Good Friday story that I think we often overlook. And it's the promise that Jesus made to the one criminal. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This could be the day. Are you ready? Well, Peter was referring to the day when Jesus would come again. But it also could be the day that the Lord calls you home. What those words must have meant for that criminal in his last few moments alive. The comfort that brought him as he prepared to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When will that day be for you? When your soul will enter the nearer presence of God in Christ, and your body will continue awaiting Christ's coming. Well, only God knows. But whenever it is, it will be a day of joy. For as Paul said in our epistle, you are delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But we wait. We wait with faith. And we wait with patience. God knows what he's doing. He is always working for our good. He is always working that we hear those precious words, Father, forgive them. Those were the words Jesus spoke from first to last. And the words he wants you to hear, to have, from the beginning of your life to the end. For on that last day, the great and final day, the one who will not come down from the cross will be the one who will pull you up from the grave and say, Welcome home, my child. Welcome to paradise. Amen.